Seeing one in that, what's the number on that one? Our theme song to Jubilee. Bring them in.
436, I think.
Yep, 436. All right. All right. Listen to the word. Right before that, I never don't have words to it, but what it is, the title of it is Lord, Speak to Me. Lord, Speak to Me. And I like the last verse. It says, oh, use me, Lord. Use even me, just as thou wilt, and when and where. Until thy blessed face I see, they rest, they joy, and that thy glory shares. Lord, speak to me. That's my prayer here this week, that the Lord would speak to me every day, every morning that I get up, that he'll speak to me about going somewhere, calling somebody, and telling somebody else about Jesus. That's what I want to do this year, 2017. I want to be able to tell somebody about Jesus each and every day that he allows me to be able to get up, to stand up, to walk, and to cry out. I need to be willing to tell people about Jesus. Here in Hebrews chapter 9, I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but I'm not going to argue nobody about it. But I want to look at something here tonight. I was looking at this afternoon. And I was thinking about what this morning, the message was this morning, and thinking about 2017 and this year. You know, each one of us, no doubt, in 2016, we was expecting and we was looking for the Lord's return. I was looking, I was expecting the Lord to call me home any day. And over there in the book of Titus, it speaks about that we must talk to Him and we must proclaim Him. And as we proclaim Him, then we must have on our hearts the things that are there in heaven. Here in Titus chapter, let me go over there and read it. I'd rather read it than quote it because I can't end up quoting it. I know I'm going to make a mistake because I know myself. And the Lord knows me too. He knows that I'm going to make a mistake. But here in Titus, I believe it's in chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It says in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. A great God. It don't say anything about that He's a good God. It don't say anything about that He's an okay God. But Paul here, and even Titus here, in the pastoral work here, the minister at this time, and I believe it was Paul here in the book of Titus, and Timothy, and we know that Paul was raising up other men and teaching them what they must do, that they need to go to the desert like he did, and to get the same education that he did. And the education was from God. But I like what he said. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the glorious appearing. We must be looking for that glorious appearing. We must always have our eyes. We must always have our hearts focused on heaven. We must always have our eyes, our ears, and everything that we have focused on heaven. Because when we have things focused on heaven, and in verse 15 of the book of Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, it says this, And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I'm not looking for the inheritance down here that my mother may leave me. I'm not looking for the inheritance that somebody else may leave me here on this earth after the passing away of them. I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing that we have, that I'm going to have there in heaven. And I'm going to be able to experience, and I'm going to understand what he meant about the eternal inheritance. And that eternal inheritance is going to be my home one day. That is what I'm going to inherit. I'm going to inherit all of heaven. I'm going to inherit heaven from one end to the other. I'm going to inherit it all. You are too. We're going to be inheritance together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, we're going to have a home that's going to be next door to the Lord Jesus Christ. So anytime that we want to go and be able just to go and speak to him and just have a little communication with him, we can get up from where we're at and we can just walk right where he's at. And we will not get tired. We will not get no physical sickness or anything like that, because we're going to have the eternal doctor. We're going to have the one that has created these bodies and has placed the organs where they're placed at. And some of the organs that we do have, if that organ goes, there goes us. There goes our life. We cannot live with a certain organ, but there are certain organs that, yes, we can live without. One of the organs that the Lord gave us, and I still ain't figured out why he done it, but he did it. So he don't even be trying to figure it out. But it's the organ of, where was I going now? The gallbladder. I don't need my gallbladder. I mean, they take it. I mean, anytime they do surgery today, that's the first thing they don't want to do. They say, well, we're going in, we're going to do surgery, we're going to take your gallbladder out. I mean, there's certain things that we can do without. But we cannot do without God. We cannot go anywhere without him. He has got to be the center of our being each and every day. And in being our center in our life, that we can receive each and every promise that is here, that is in the Word of God. Some people says it's over 300 promises in God's Word. I believe it's more than that. I believe that you can pick out a promise that's in each and every chapter of the Bible. We may look at it, we may see, well, a promise is being repeated over and over and over. And when that promise is repeated over and over and over in the Word of God, that is God telling us that I'm God and I have the promises that I'm going to give you. I'm God. You know, we as individuals, one day we're going home. I'm going to leave tonight. I'm going home tonight.
I'm going to my earthly home. It's 465 Jenny Lane. But that's not the home that I'm speaking about tonight. One of these days, I'm going to go to my eternal home. And that's with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what all he done for me, I'm going to go to that eternal home. How? Why am I going to that eternal home? Because I trusted the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with my life. I trusted him. That's the reason that I'm going to an eternal home. That's the reason that if you are going to eternal home, if you're saved, that's the reason you're going to be able to go, is because of what Jesus Christ done for you. And just we just need to take a time. We just need to come to church sometime. Just take a moment out of time and just be here, and just like a holy hush. No noise, no sound, no music, no one speaking. We're just thinking about heaven. And if we all get to start thinking about really heaven, and get to thinking about some of the things that we're going to do that in heaven. I don't know what all we're going to do that in heaven. I know that one thing, I'm going to have a ball there. I know one thing, I'm going to be happy there. I know one thing, I ain't going to have to worry about my liver there. When I get to heaven, I ain't going to have to worry about somebody telling me, say, well, you can't use as much salt. That's right. I ain't going to have to worry about that. I ain't going to have to worry about things like that. I ain't got to worry about my eyes anymore. Well, each and every one of y'all just as fuzzy as that. I mean, just as fuzzy. And if I try to walk down, I stumble and fall. I probably wouldn't hit the step. Or step down. But I'm going home where there's no eyeglasses. But even with the eyeglasses on, I still have that spiritual eyesight that I can see Jesus. I can see Jesus looking down. And he says, Faith Baptist Church, 4341 South Boston Highway, Ringgold, Virginia, 24586. Faith Baptist Church. Not but a few people there. But they're faithful. They're faithful to me. They always that I can depend on them and being in church. We can depend on each other and being here. And we know if you're not here, it's because you're sick. And you don't want to come and spread it, give it to somebody else, because if you come and if you give your sickness to somebody else, then when you get well, then the individual you give it to, they gonna be at home. See? We don't need that. We need to be respectful to each other. We need to think about heaven. If we just still, just really a holy hush and started thinking about what heaven is going to be like, we cannot imagine. It's not but seven of us here tonight. But did you realize
that each one of us can go about and give him what we think heaven is going to be about when we get there. Did you realize that each and every one of us would have a different question and a different answer? So heaven is going to be
great. This home that I'm going to, it's going to be great. I'm not going to get no mail anymore. I ain't got to worry about me getting a mail, going out there to my mailbox and opening my mail and my mailbox and getting them letters out that's got the little windows in there and they want some money from me. I ain't got to worry about that. I ain't got to worry about the government wanting to come and take all my money because they need to spend a little more. They need to waste it a little more. I ain't got to worry about that. I don't have to worry about the government. I don't have to worry about nothing else. Why? Because I'm going to be at home. I'm going to be at home, hallelujah. And I'm not coming back. I'm not going to be one of these individuals that goes to the hospital and then be there on the operating table and everything and come out and tell my wife, say, he's gone, we've lost him. Well, they ain't lost him. Can't get lost if I want to. They come out and they tell my wife, says, need to go and make arrangements. You want to come back in and see him? I've even heard people say that their families come back and to see them where they was at. And then they would say, they're not dead. They're breathing. Can you see it? And then the individual would give out that story to the newspaper and to the news and everything. And that they have died and they went to heaven. And when they got there to heaven, that God gave them a specific job to do. Come back here to earth. Pray God, if I ever got to heaven and God ever says anything to me, he said, son, you got to go back to earth because I got something else for you. I need for you to do. I said, God, please don't. Please don't let me go back. I don't want to go back. A whole lot of people out here, they eat too much cabbage. They eat too much of this and that. Because they get it on the stomach and they start dreaming about things. Hey, if I start dreaming about heaven, it's going to go. When I start dreaming about heaven, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there where he's at, and I'm not sure he ain't going to want to come back. I don't want to leave my wife and my daughter. And I don't want to leave the church. But if my time comes for me to go home, and if he takes me home, I know that my wife and my daughter, they're going to miss me. At least I hope I do. I hope they do. The church is going to miss me. I hope you will. But just don't you think about it. When I know he's up there and he just can't wait to come back home. He just can't wait to come on back down here and tell us what it's all about. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. We're gonna have a time up there. And the one ain't never raised a hand. The one that ain't never shouted and said, thank you, Lord. You're going to be there, and you ain't going to be able to shut up for nothing. They ain't going to be able to shut up for nothing, because they're going to be shouting from glory to glory. Why? Because they're going to be in the presence of God. They're going to be in His presence. They're going to be in His presence. That's when I can be able to lean on Him. And I can lean on Him down here. But it ain't nothing like
getting beside somebody and just sitting down. Cuddling up with them. What happened to us? Man, when I was out here, when I was single, and when I was dating, hey, do you think she ever sat on the other side? No, she didn't sit on the other side. She was so close to me, almost sitting in my lap. That's where I wanted her. That's where I want to be with Jesus. I want to be so close to Him that somebody can say, you need to move away a little bit. You're going to sit in His lap. And He don't want all your weight on Him. It's all right. That's all right.
I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to have a good time down here. Because I know I'm going to have a better time when I get over there. But if I'm crazy and I can't help myself, just leave me alone. And let me go on and act foolish. Because see, if I can't act foolish down here, when I get up at a bad defeat of Jesus, I'm going to be able to bow.
And I'm going to be like some of these preachers. Lord, I'm so thankful that You saved my soul. I'm so thankful, Lord, that You've been with me. Don't have a smile. Has a frown. Hey, as soon as I get through the gate, I'm going to see my Jesus afar off and I'm going to run to Him. And I ain't going to give out a breath. I ain't going to miss a step. I ain't got to worry about stumbling. I ain't got to worry about wobbling. I ain't got to worry about falling and hitting anything. Because I'm running to Jesus. I'm running to Jesus. So just let me alone and let me have a good time while I'm at it. We need just to have a good time. We just need to say to this old world, say, world, in spite of your own self, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to have a good time in serving the Lord. I'm going to have a good time in serving God. That's what's wrong with the world now. We as Christians, we don't allow the world to see Christ in our life. We don't want the world to see us and see how foolish I can be. And they say, well, there it goes again. He's out here running again. I don't wonder where he does that. He ain't doing it with wasting his breath. I ain't lost a breath. Hey, when you do something for God, God gives you the strength to do it. God's going to give you the breath to do it. God is going to give you the words to do it. If you do it for God. But if you do it in recognition of somebody else coming and patting you on the back, you're going to give out of breath. You're going to give out of what you can say. You're going to give out of strength. You're not going to be able to do it. Why? Because you're depending on people to give you the words to say, to strength, to move, and the voice to speak. Depend on the world to do that. I can't depend on the world. If I depend on the world, what they going to do? They're going to let me down. And I ain't talking about that I'm up here in a 10-story building and they tie a rope around my waist and they just let me down to the ground. I ain't talking about that kind of letdown. They're not going to have anything to do with me. They're not going to trust me and what I say. And if people can't trust you, what do we have? What do we have if people can't trust us? We don't have nothing.
One of these days, I'm going to get home. One of these days, I'm going to be there standing with him. One of these days, he's going to turn to me and says, Donnie. No, he's going to say, Brother Donnie, my son. Look around you. Look as far as you can see. Around you, 360 degrees all the way around you. Look at what you see. All of that is yours. You inherited it all. You know how I inherited it? You know how I inherited everything heaven has to offer? When I get there? When I inherit the things there in heaven? You know how I inherited it? I inherited it. How? By not doing nothing else myself, but just trusting Jesus with my soul and asking him to save me and to do his work within me. That's all I had to do. I didn't have to give up anything. You know, today you have to go out here and you have to borrow, you have to beg, you have to do all these things to inherit something from somebody. Or a family member or something like that. I mean, I even hear today, family members today, now they'll be at the funeral home and they'll be having a funeral going on. Then they have other family members at the house. They stay at the house, say they're going to look after the house. No, they're not going to look after the house. They're looking after their own little interest. They'll have a U-Haul truck around the back of the house, around the corner of the street, and they'll pull a U-Haul truck up, and they'll fill it to the brim. Why? Because they want what Mama had. They want what Daddy had and what Daddy's left. They want it. They don't care anything about their brothers and their sisters and their aunts and their uncles. They don't care anything about them. They want what they can get. Brother Jimmy Williams told me one time, and he was telling me and Shelby both. I think it was when with her mother, I believe it was,
When we went up and talked to him about her final arrangements, and he told us, and this was after we picked out everything and signed everything, when I signed my life away and all of that and everything. But you know, then he come around and told us. I said, I know that you've got to see some sights that comes in up here. He said, you would not believe it. And this was up here North Main Street. North Main Hill. That's where it was at. And we was upstairs in his office. He said, literally one day that he had a family up there, that he had to call the police. He said they was up here throwing furniture, turning over tables. He says, we had to do something, and that was the only thing that I knew what we had to do. They were so unworthy of anything. They were so, they couldn't even talk to them. And they had to call the police, and the police come and removed them from the property. That's a shame. That's a shame, and leaving a testimony. In your own life. They were still living. They was living. And they was building their own testimony. Their own biography. They was writing their own book. And they ended it up that way. And I said, well, did you get everything straight, Brother Jimmy? He said, well, not that particular day we didn't. I said, well, are they going to come to you for their arrangements when they need to be buried or whatever? He said, nope. He says, the way they acted, he says, they don't even deserve a pine box. And he says, you know, I hate to say it, but he says, so what I'm saying, they don't deserve a pine box. And that's sad. It really is sad about what people do today. But I thank the Lord. I thank my God in heaven that he don't. And my Savior, my elder brother, that's 2017 years old, he's not going to treat me that way. He has never treated me that way. Never has. Never will. I have treated him sometimes so terrible. But he will never treat me the way I treat him. Why? Because of love. Loyalty. And he is obedient unto the Father's word. And when he's loyal and obedient to God's word, he has the victory. And the individual that he loves has the victory also. And then the last one is E. We're going to be able to have the eternal home. Where we won't have the eternal inheritance.
Glory to God.
I sure am glad I'm saved tonight. I sure am glad he didn't just say, well, Donnie, just go on over here. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad he didn't sidestep and go down. Well, instead of him coming to 465 Denny Lane, I sure am glad he didn't go to over there on Harris Street or Hughes Street or somewhere else. I'm sure glad he showed up at my door. I'm sure glad that he showed up on my heart. He wanted to come into my heart. And he knocked on it. And he knocked. And he knocked. But it was up to me to let him in or not. It was up to me to go and to turn that knob and open that door to invite him in. It was up to me. See, a heart does not have a door handle, does not have the knob or whatever you want to call it. We don't have the latch on the outside to where he can open our heart. He's not going to force us his way in. And we don't need to force our way in to someone's home. We need to respect them, and we need to respect our home. We need to respect our home. Yes, we can go into homes, and I've been into some where they have beer cans all over the table. And they'd have liquor bottles. And I've heard other preachers that I went with and visit people. And the first thing that they would do, they'd come up and say, you know that beer over there and that liquor over there, that's going to kill you. They know that. We need to be respectful of them. Why? Because see, all they have to do is just say, if you don't like the way my house looks, and if you don't like what's going on here, then you just leave. And if we do not leave, what happens? Then they can call a local police department. And the local police department can come to their home and remove us from their home. So we need to have respect for them and respect for the home. How are they going to learn anything about having respect if they can't see a Christian have a little respect for them in the life that they're living? And then they will say, said that old preacher, he come down and he just talked to us. He talked to me about the football game the other day. He just talked to me about this and that and everything. Then while he was getting ready to leave, he asked me, you mind if I have a word of prayer for you and your family? Do you mind it? He said, no, I don't mind it. Then I have prayer with them. I just have a prayer and say, Lord, just be with them. Look after them. Take care of them. Meet their every need. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. We need to let them know that yes, we have enough respect for them to where we want to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never win someone else for the Lord and being critical to them. Never.
If you're critical to individuals in the way you sound, in the words that we say, we just might as well turn around and leave. Because they cannot and they will not hear what we're going to say. We don't need to be critical.
We need to love them. One day, I was in that situation one day. One day in my past, lifetime, I was in the same way. I may not have been doing the same thing that they was doing, but I was still lost. Each one of us was. Each one of us had to come to that point in life that we had, that we needed to show the Father respect. We don't even have people to come into the house of God anymore and have enough respect for God's house. They come in and first thing they'll ask you, if they ain't ever been in church before, says, well, do you allow us to bring a drink in here? Do you allow drinking a Coke or eating a pack of nabs in here? Yes, I do. I mind. We don't do that. This is God's house. We don't do that. But see, they don't know that. We have to teach them that. I don't have to be ugly to them about it. I just says, no. I says, we just don't allow it. This is a place where we get along with God. This is a place here that where we can get our minds off of everything else. Where the Holy Spirit can speak to us. People don't know nobody. They don't know nobody. And if they don't know nobody, who's going to teach them if we don't? Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I ask that you would just go with us to our respective homes tonight. And Father, bring us back in the next appointed time. And Lord Jesus, we just ask, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, that we may speak to people this week. Father, give me the words to speak to someone each and every day in 2017, that I may be able to speak to someone about your precious love. And yes, Lord, that they can see your love come from my voice. And Lord, that I can also love them. I need to have respect for the individual. It's the only way we will ever be able to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ is have respect for them. People today, they just don't have enough respect anymore. We need to show them, yes, there are people that they do honor you and they respect the house of God and they respect the other people that they speak to and they talk to. And Lord, I pray that 2017 will be a better year than what 2016 was. Father, that we can start seeing souls where they just want to come in. They just want to come in and hear some good news. And Father, help us, Lord, that we can be able to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.